Well, praise the Lord. Okay, praise God. All right, amen. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, I thank God there's answers for every dilemma, and we have those. If you're human like I am, we know what it's like for things to interfere and for hindrances and all kinds of things to try to get in our way at times. But praise the Lord, we serve an almighty God who loved us so much that he came to this world to save us from our sin. And oh, what a gift and what a wonder that is. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer here tonight and let's worship him. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity here to come, oh Lord, oh God, to come before thee, Lord, oh God, to surrender our hearts, to give our ears to thy word, Lord. And, oh God, we just thank you for the gift that you've given us, this gift of salvation, for there is no friend like you, Jesus. Oh, there is no way like the way that you have brought us to, Lord, the way that, oh Lord, is talked of in thy word. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you would talk to hearts tonight. I pray, oh God, that you would move here in a mighty way. Oh God, we have need of thee, Jesus. We need thee, Lord, to work in a mighty way. Oh God, let thy presence come down. Let thy touch come down. Let thy reality be felt, Lord. We come before thee, Jesus. Oh God, you know every need. Oh God, and all we just pray that you would work. I pray that you would work in every heart. I pray, oh Lord, that people would find you tonight. I pray, oh God, that you would hear their hearts cry. And, oh Lord Jesus, I pray that they would open their hearts unto thee, Lord. I pray that you would meet the needs of your people. Oh God, for you know, oh God, what needs we have even before we ask. We bring these things before thee, Lord. We ask that you would move, that you would use this word, oh God, that it would go forth with thy strength, oh God, with thy faith, Lord, with thy power, Lord, oh God, with thy anointing, Lord, oh God, we give this over to you in the name of Jesus and ask, oh Lord, that you'd use it, that, oh God, it would not be void, oh Lord, but, oh God, it would accomplish that which you please. Oh Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I am thankful for that song service. I could kind of almost tell which songs Brother Samuel was going to lead. I was like, okay, this one now. And oh boy, how that happened. But God is so good, and he knows what we have need of. What a privilege it is to know our God. There are so many out there that are searching. And these times, as we know, are so confusing. Oh, so full of despair in so many ways. And I know as we get closer and closer to the election, there's a lot to be concerned about. But praise the Lord, if we found Jesus, we found the pearl of great price, and we found the one that has all the answers. And oh, what a refuge we have in our Savior, our soon coming King, the Lord of Lords, the God whom we serve, and what a privilege it is. But I know God made us with a place in our hearts that is reserved for him. And until you found the living God, until you've given that place over to the Lord Jesus, that place is going to be empty. It's going to be void. There's going to be nothing to fulfill it, you know? And so many people seek to find some kind of thing, some kind of means to fill that void, that empty place that God has reserved for himself. I can imagine Adam and Eve when they lost that fellowship with God. Oh, that fellowship must have been so sweet and wonderful. God, Almighty God, who would walk with them in the cool of the evening. What fellowship they must have had. But I'll tell you what, when sin came into the world, that fellowship was lost. And what a shame. I mean, how could you ever, you know, get over that? Something so dear, so precious, so profound, so wonderful, and to lose it. Oh, we never want to lose our place with God. Oh, it is so wonderful to have that friend in Jesus. Oh, the one who does know all about our struggles. The one who does know about all our needs. And oh, God, all the things that agitate us and hurt us. And oh, seek to destroy us even. But praise the Lord. There is a mighty God who came to this earth. Oh, yes, to seek and to save those that were lost so that we could have the living Savior in our hearts, so that empty void could be filled, that place that he reserved for himself, that lost fellowship that Adam and Eve lost. Oh, I'm so thankful. It's wonderful to know the Lord. Once you have found him, it's beyond our description to try to describe the wonder of salvation. But so thankful. It was the Lord who spoke to our hearts. It was the Lord who appealed to us and made it known that we needed him. It was our God who knocked at our heart's door and beseeching us to let him in. And I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful for that day when God came into my life. Amen. Oh, yes, when he became my Savior, my God, my friend. Oh, yes, my soon coming King. Oh, my. I wouldn't trade that for anything. And praise the Lord. What a wonder it is. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, "We Have Found Him." Praise the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9 to read a portion of scripture here as we begin here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. We have found him. Oh, praise the Lord. If we look at Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and read the first 2 verses, we get a drift of what the world was like before Jesus came to this world. It says in verse 1, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in their vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations." And here it says in verse 2, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Oh, what a day that was when Jesus came to this world. And oh, yes, oh, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, oh, the locations of Nazareth and Cana, which were in Zebulun, and there was Capernaum, and all those places where Jesus ministered. Oh, my, they had been so grievously afflicted in the days before. But what a beautiful moment it was when Jesus came into the picture. And oh, yes, this prophetic utterance, oh, yes, was brought to reality. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. For it says in verse 3, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and hast not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." And that's, the good things. Yes, when something goes well, we bring in the harvest and it's in, and there is a moment of rejoicing for that. Yes, that's a victory. But yet, that isn't what satisfies the soul. And it says in verse 4, "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian." And oh, what a wonderful day. This is prophetic, I believe, talking about when the devil's back was broken at Calvary. Praise the Lord, that burden, that yoke that was so heavy, oh, that was upon the people. Praise the Lord, when Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. Praise the Lord, that yoke was broken, the rod of the oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Oh, praise the Lord, a great victory that the Lord God wrought. Praise the Lord. For verse 5 says, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And then verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. Jesus Christ came to this world to establish his kingdom, his government. And praise the Lord, it's a government that shall never end. It's a kingdom, yes, that has no ending. And there's a continual increase in his kingdom. And there's no end of peace in his kingdom. Praise the Lord, it's established upon the throne of David. And upon his kingdom, oh yes, precisely, exactly ordered according to the dictates of Almighty God. Praise the Lord, foreseen in the past and brought, oh yes, into being. When it was that time, praise the Lord. Oh, that kingdom that would be established with judgment and with justice from that moment and even forever, praise the Lord, an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that has no end. And it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Oh, praise the Lord, if you're in the kingdom of God, you're in an everlasting kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord, a kingdom that has no end. Oh, yes, in the kingdom, oh, yes, that is going to triumph over all the attempts of the enemy to bring it down. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's go now to the first chapter of John. Praise the Lord. And again, oh yes, what a wonder it was. Oh yes, when the people that walked in darkness were able to see that great light. Oh yes, it had been so dark. Gross darkness. But praise the Lord, the light came into this world. Oh, Jesus Christ being the light. And here in the first chapter of John, we see, oh yes, some of the happenings as it began to be revealed unto those that would follow him. Praise the Lord. We're going to start with verse 35 here. Here in the first chapter of John, praise the Lord, we have found him. Amen. It tells us in verse 35, again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and of course here we're talking about John the Baptist, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, I'm going to go to verse 29 here. I think it's just going to make a better sense if I just back up here a little bit. Please forgive me here. Let's look at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And of course we know that John the Baptist, his mission was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And what insight he said, oh my, and here it is. John was baptizing beyond Jordan there. And, oh, yes, he saw Jesus Christ coming. And again, you know, things weren't real clear, but it came out of his mouth. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And, yes, he began to say that this is he who was preferred before me. For he was before me. What a revelation he had at that moment. And you know, at the first He didn't know. You know, he'd been called of God to come and, yes, prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah, the one that would follow after him. And again, it was vague. It wasn't real clear at the first. But God had let him know that there would be a sign that would come forth, and he would know the Christ very clearly, because when he was baptized, and John was baptizing the people, but when this one was baptized, he would see the Spirit of God come down upon him, almost like a dove would come and descend and then land in a certain area. But only this wasn't a dove. This was the Spirit of God, but he would see it as a manifestation, and it would come and make its abode upon that individual who was the Christ. And so here he's telling it. Verse 32, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." And oh, what a understanding. You know, he knew that his ministry was, you know, subject to the one who would follow him. And he knew that, yeah, his ministry, this is John the Baptist I'm speaking of, would just be a temporary thing. But praise the Lord. Oh, yes, John was baptizing with water unto repentance, but he knew that there was one that cometh after him who would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And praise the Lord, that's what the Spirit of God had made known to John the Baptist. That, oh, yes, the one that he would see the Spirit of the living God come upon and make its abode would be the same one that would baptize with a Holy Ghost baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I'm coming back to this passage, but let's just for a moment, let's go to 1 Peter here. 1 Peter here, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 9, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." And we know we have all those prophecies there in the Old Testament and how profound they are and how amazing they are. But you can imagine the prophets who brought these prophetic utterances forth did not really have the understanding. And you know how they searched in their hearts and how they wondered, you know, when this would happen and what manner it would happen in and what all would follow what they had said. And so, you know, it tells us in verse 12, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Oh, praise the Lord. There was something that had never happened yet. Oh, yes, the Spirit of the living God would come upon the prophets, and they would prophesy. Oh, yes, but oh, yes, there was something that had not yet happened, the Holy Ghost baptism. And oh, yes, what a gift when God poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ as he came forth on the day of Pentecost. And oh yes, how they were moved. Oh yes, as the Holy Ghost came upon them and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord, what a gift. What a wonderful thing. And it's so wonderful that even the angels look into it and marvel at it and desire such a thing. Praise the Lord. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Oh, how we need the Spirit of the living God to direct us. Praise the Lord. But here, back in John, the first chapter, oh, yes, John clearly knew that when he saw the Spirit descending upon that Christ individual, that it would be the same that would baptize with the Holy Ghost. Of course, we know that that was Jesus Christ. And he goes on to tell us in verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Praise the Lord, the arm of God. Oh, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah who would come forth. Praise the Lord. And now verse 35. "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." Praise the Lord. And so these two disciples that were disciples of John the Baptist, when they heard this utterance, they followed Jesus. And verse 38 begins to tell us, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou?" Oh my, they were so curious, you know, this got their attention. And it tells us in verse 39, "Jesus, he saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." So it was late in the afternoon at that point. And oh yes, obviously they had a fellowship with Jesus Christ, and it must have been marvelous, must have been very revealing. Goes on to tell us in verse 40, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him," and this is, oh yes, I want this to get your attention here tonight. This is what Andrew said to Simon Peter, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. Praise the Lord, Christ meaning the anointed one. Oh yes, it was revealed to him. They spent that evening with the Lord Jesus. And from that point, Andrew went to find his brother Simon, Simon Peter. And what he said to him again is, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 42, "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus knew all about this already. But here it is, the calling forth of those that would follow him. And so we have another day in verse 43. "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me." Explains in verse 44. "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." And you know, this is curious. I note that I was curious as I was reading this, because I know that they were from Capernaum. But it is believed that Bethsaida and Capernaum were very close together. In fact, Bethsaida perhaps was synonymous with that, and perhaps was maybe the fishing hub of that area, Bethsaida here. And so anyway, there's no discrepancy at all in God's word, but praise the Lord, I believe that is the explanation in case anyone was curious. Praise the Lord, because yes, Bethsaida is used here as the location of Andrew and Peter. Praise the Lord. And also Philip was of Bethsaida. And then it goes on, you know, I mean, these men, as Jesus is calling them, and they're realizing, hey, he's not an ordinary person. They just spend this, you know, initial time with Jesus, and you know, it's, you know, something is so compelling, something is so different that, you know, already we know that Andrew has declared that, you know, we have found the Messiah. And oh yes, now Jesus found Philip and asked Philip to follow him. And you know, Philip goes to find, perhaps it was his best friend, I don't know, another man named Nathanael. And Nathanael, I believe, is also the Bartholomew in the other Gospels. But praise the Lord. Let's read verse 45. It tells us, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Oh, praise the Lord. And Nathanael is a little bit skeptic here, it seems, at the first. He says in verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Obviously, Nazareth was not the best place to be from. It is a tiny place, I believe, with a population of about 400. But, you know, obviously, whatever all its reputation was, I mean, there was reason for Nathanael to wonder, would any good thing come out of Nazareth? But Philip replied by saying, it tells us here, verse 46, the latter part, Philip saith unto him, come and see. And oh my, Nathanael's now going to be introduced to the Jesus. Oh, to the Christ, praise the Lord, our Savior and our Lord. Tells us in verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Oh my, Jesus already knew Nathanael. And this is very impressive, obviously. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Oh, Jesus knew already about Nathanael, and nothing was a surprise to him. And I'll tell you what, this is so amazing to this man, that, oh yes, he has that revelation. Oh yes, that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And here it is in verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the great things that are yet to be seen. Oh, by the children of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. And I know there were those that were with Jesus in the transfiguration when they saw the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. What a moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we see how as they came to know Jesus Christ, as they were introduced to him, these who became apostles had that realization that Jesus was not an ordinary individual. Oh, yes, I love how Andrew said to Peter, Simon Peter, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Oh, the one that they had long waited for, the one that the scriptures had foretold. But oh my, it had seemed so long, and so many had given up in their expectation of ever seeing the Christ. But here, there were those, oh yes, that could see and understand as, oh yes, as Jesus came into the scene, knowing full well and acknowledging him as the Christ, the Messiah, he that was to come. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And what a wonder. Oh, how the Lord changes our lives. Oh, yes, there is none like our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to go into the Old Testament right now. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 52. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. We're going to start with verse 6 here in Isaiah chapter 52. It tells us here in verse 6, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I." And I believe this is so beautifully relates to those experiences there in that first chapter of the book of John. But praise the Lord, it had been such a mystery. Oh, the prophets had written and foretold of the greatness of the one that would come and also of the sufferings of he that would come. But oh my, that name that is above every name had not yet been revealed. But oh yes, Isaiah is speaking of this moment here when the people of the living God would know his name. Praise the Lord. They would know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. And we see how, yes, those apostles recognized Jesus. And it goes on to say in verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Oh, what a moment that would be. A moment that they had long awaited. But oh, yes, how beautiful it would be when finally the Savior would come. He that published salvation to the people. Oh, he would reveal the plan of God. Praise the Lord, and be able to say unto the church of the living God, unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Tells us in verse 8, "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring against Zion." Oh, praise the Lord. Diverse people all coming together, seeing eye to eye, all recognizing the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, he who was to come. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 says, "Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Oh, I love that. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it wouldn't be just restricted to one people. No, there would be a covenant that would be brought forth, an everlasting covenant. Oh, yes, and it would not just be for one class of people or one group of people. No, it would be for all the ends of the earth to see the salvation of our God. Oh, praise the Lord, what a wonderful revelation. And it goes on to tell us in verse 11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And again, as John the Baptist was preaching the need to repent, to turn away from sin, Jesus Christ emphasized that point also. Oh, yes, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, yes, there is a great need when we come to the living God, turn away from all the things that are unclean. And I'm talking about spiritual uncleanness, things that separate us from God. I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about abominable things in the sight of God. Things, oh yes, that he expects his people not to tolerate. And so he goes on to say in verse 12, "For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward." Oh, praise the Lord. So it's declaring that God would go before his people, as the shepherd would lead his people, but also he would be our re-reward. And that is amazing, because a re-reward in a military term is, you know, the portion that would protect the rear of the main body or force, that would go behind. And so not only does our Savior go before us, but also he goes behind us too. Oh yes, to guard our back, to keep us from falling. Praise the Lord. Verse 13 says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently," oh, with great wisdom. "He shall be exalted," oh yes, "and extolled." Praise the Lord. In other words, he shall be praised and greatly, and he shall be very high. Oh, there is none like unto our Lord. And then, oh yes, there's some prophetic utterances of that salvation that he brought forth. Verse 14 tells us, "As many were astonished at thee," or in other words, astonished at thee, "his visage," or that's his countenance, his face, "was so marred," it was so damaged, in other words, "more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Oh, there was a great disfigurement there in Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, oh, in spite of the astonishment, and of course, there at Calvary when he was broken. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, you can't imagine all that happened at that moment. How his form was so disformed and disfigured, and everything was so marred as he was so cruelly beaten and you know, harmed and hurt and everything else. But yet it tells us, "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider." Praise the Lord. Oh, what a price was paid at Calvary. He was sprinkling. Oh, yes, he was sprinkling his people with his precious blood that he shed so freely. The price paid at Calvary when he made himself an offering for sin. What an astonishment. What a moment. What an event. Oh, what a price was paid. Oh, that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Oh, the glorious, wonderful news of the gospel as it was coming forth. Oh, yes, as it became a reality. Oh, that moment with Jesus Christ came into this world. Oh my, so many had given up. But how precious he was to those that would believe. Oh, what a wonderful gift was given. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, and Jesus Christ said in Luke the 10th chapter, verse 23, "And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Oh, the wonderful, glorious gospel that was going forth as Jesus walked this earth. Praise the Lord. And we could only imagine here he came to this world. And we know, as it tells us in John, the first chapter, he was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Great astonishment, wasn't it? And then it tells us in verse 11 in John, the first chapter, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Oh my, those that should have known him. Oh yes, who knew the scriptures and should have recognized him. But yet, they received him not. But praise the Lord. Verse 12 here in John 1 tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, praise the Lord, he gave us that power. Oh, isn't it amazing? Yes, Jesus told them before he ascended into heaven, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord, that power, the Holy Ghost, that was given on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. He was in the world, and the world didn't recognize him. The world was made by him, but the world knew him not, and even his own people did not receive him for the main part. But praise the Lord, to those that did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's talking about the rebirth, that being born again of the water and the spirit, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh yes, that being born again of the water and of the spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh my, it must have been, oh yes, such an amazing thing when Jesus made himself known to that woman of Samaria in the fourth chapter of the book of John. Oh yes, it was such a amazing feat to see him there talking to this woman, and she marveled too, because this was something that typically was never done. You know, here was a Jew talking to a Samaritan woman, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan. But Jesus spoke to her, oh yes, and he had asked her for something to drink. And again, oh my, she marveled. But Jesus said unto that woman of Samaria in verse 10 of John the fourth chapter, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh, praise the Lord. And she's so curious. Oh, she's never heard of living water before. You know, here they are at the well, and it was a well-known well. Yes, it was a well there that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And boy, you know, they were, I'm sure, proud of that well. It had this great history. But, you know, this was hard to put together. As, you know, Jesus was speaking to this woman. And, you know, she had to ask, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Oh, Jesus' answer, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Of course, Jesus began to test her, and you know, he told her to call her husband and come, have him come thither. And you know, the woman had to answer that she didn't have a husband, and Jesus knew full well anyway, you know, and he said she had rightly answered that I have no husband, because she had had five husbands, and the man she was living with right now at that moment was not her husband. And so Jesus said that in that she had truly answered. And she's beginning to perceive that Jesus is not ordinary. She's beginning to, you know, just know there's something greater than normal about Jesus Christ. Verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, praise the Lord. He is telling this woman great things. And oh my, you know, what a marvel. You know, typically, yes, salvation was of the Jews in that covenant period, that first covenant period. And yes, they would worship at Jerusalem. But Jesus is talking about something that was following, that was coming forth, even at that point being established, when location wouldn't make a difference. Your heritage wouldn't make a difference. Your background wouldn't make a difference. No, because God would be looking for people that would worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Oh, yes, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that wonderful dispensation that Jesus brought forth, this new covenant of grace and mercy, a covenant for all people. Praise the Lord. Even unto the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. And then, oh yes, he's telling in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, God was a spirit, and if a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, Jesus himself revealed there, oh yes, before he ascended into heaven. But God, being a spirit, put on flesh to come to this world to save his people, to bring forth his plan. Oh, yes. Oh, to make himself known a way that, oh, yes, he could relate to human life. Praise the Lord. He came as a man, Christ Jesus. So, yes, it wouldn't matter where we worship him or what our background was or any of those things. But what would matter is that we would worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And I'll tell you what, this woman, it's amazing. She's getting it. In verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And here it is, this woman with her background. Jesus is going to disclose to her who he is. Verse 26 says, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Praise the Lord. He's telling her, I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am he that was prophesied that would come. And here I am. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. And in the meantime, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore the disciples, one to another, said, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They're not understanding what's going on here. But Jesus saith unto them in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Oh, praise the Lord. There are rewards for our service to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those things that we do for the cause of Christ. And what a need there is. Oh, that harvest that is so plentiful at this point. The need. Oh, the lateness of the hour and all of that. Oh, it's just clear in so many ways. But oh, yes, he was expounding these details to his disciples and telling them that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's my responsibility. That's my mission, to do the will of God. That's why I'm here, to begin it and to finish it. Praise the Lord. So, verse 37, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Oh, praise the Lord. And so after he finished that discussion there, it tells us in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Oh, what a testimony she had. But oh my, it was going to get greater here. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. Verse 41 tells us, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, what moments these were, as, oh yes, Jesus was revealing himself to certain individuals. And you know, we noticed that there were many that he could not disclose this information. Oh, they refused to see and understand. They had no ability. But here, this Samaritan woman got the whole thing. She understood that Jesus was the Christ. And also these Samaritans that came to Jesus because of the woman's testimony also saw and understood that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. How wonderful it is to find the living God. Oh, to grasp that detail. Oh, it's something that is revealed to us from God. Oh, yes, we can't just, you know, come across it, you know, by our own intuition or by studying books and philosophies of men. But it comes by revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, yes, we know in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, it tells us, if we look at verse 13 here, Matthew chapter 16, Verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And here it is, Simon Peter answered and said in verse 16, oh, this revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Oh, isn't that interesting? Oh, yes, those apostles at that point here in Matthew 16 got it, didn't they? Peter spoke boldly, declaring that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus declared that it wasn't known by flesh and blood, but it was by revelation that came from God that he would know this. And when Jesus said unto him, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, that rock that he is talking about is that truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh yes, that's the foundation of the gospel. That's the point that we must embrace. Except that you believe that I am he, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh yes, it was emphasized by Jesus Christ. So many didn't get it, just seeing him as the son of Joseph. But praise the Lord, there were those to whom it was revealed. And what a marvel it was and still is to this day when we can see and understand that Jesus is the Christ. Oh, we don't have to look any further. We don't have to read philosophies of men. We don't have to look to another religion. No, we can look to Jesus Christ. We can find him in the pages of God's word. We can find the truth in God's word. Praise the Lord. And oh, what a wonder it is. That is the premise. That is the base, the rock of our salvation. The church is built upon it. That revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yes, Jesus gave unto Peter the keys of the kingdom of God. We note that there in the second chapter of the book of Acts, it was Peter who was opening up the plan of salvation to those that assembled there on the day of Pentecost. We notice that in the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John came, oh yes, to lay hands on the Samaritans that believed so that they would receive the Holy Ghost. And we notice in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts that it was Simon Peter that came to the household of Cornelius the Gentile to declare the glorious gospel. Oh yes. And they believed, didn't they? Those there gathered there with Cornelius, his household, all that were with him. Oh yes. They believed and they received the Holy Ghost even before Peter finished his message. Praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost fell upon them and they could tell because they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Praise the Lord. And then they commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But oh, what a wonder it is to find the living God, to know that He is our Savior and our King. Oh, yes, the one that was the long-awaited one, the one that the prophets prophesied of. And yet it was revealed to them that it was for a later people that would receive that wonderful truth and be able to acknowledge and know that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was told that would come. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I know there in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul is preaching there. Oh, yes. He was in Athens. And oh, yes, he had all the curious Athenians all wondering what he was all about. But all there on Mars Hill in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul preached to them Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he had found that altar there on Mars Hill to the unknown God. And there he was going to declare unto them, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. He went on to say the 24th verse, Acts 17, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath in all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. He was presenting the gospel to those that were gathered there on Mars Hill. And praise the Lord. Oh, I love how he declared, oh, you know, that need that all should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonder it is to find the living God. We've all been out there. We've all been lost. We've all been strangers at one point in our lifetime. But how gracious and how wonderful, how beautiful when the Lord Jesus made himself known unto us. And we could grasp that understanding. Oh, yes, that Jesus is the Christ. We don't have to look any further. We can embrace the gospel and we can find Jesus. We can find all that thing that our heart seeks for. That void in our life, that empty spot can be filled by the love of Jesus Christ, by the glorious gospel. Oh, that light that shone into the world and still shines through the people of the living God. Praise the Lord, that opportunity that we have to come to Jesus. Oh, yes, to hear his voice and to obey the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus explained in John, the 14th chapter. He said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And what a question. Oh, doesn't all humanity ask that in one way or the other? Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him in verse 6, oh, here is the answer. Oh, it comes by Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus explained it just so perfectly at that moment. Oh, yes, so that we would know there is no other way. Oh, there is no other option. For he only is the way to heaven. He is the way to life. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can't climb up another way. If you try, you're a thief and a robber. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he goes on to say in verse 7 here in John 14, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And praise the Lord. What a wonder it is. The story of salvation is such a wonder. We've been given such a gift. Oh, as we ponder it, we may wonder forever why in the world the Lord would have such mercy on us. And why he would even reveal himself unto us. But what a gift. If we could just come to him and believe, accept his truth. Oh, praise the Lord. The promises of God are so beyond any other promise that man could ever even hear. But praise the Lord. The gift of salvation, that one would love us so much, but being a spirit, he was not able to reach out in such a way that he could die for our sins. Therefore, putting on flesh to come as the Son of God, as the Christ, as the Messiah into this world. Oh, yes. Even though he'd been there with the Father in the Spirit before putting on flesh. It had been one. There was no difference at all. But God manifested himself as the Son of God to come to this world to save us from our sins. And what a beautiful thing it is. Jesus said in verse 12 here in John 14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, praise the Lord. Because he lives, we have a hope that is greater than this world. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have something, oh yes, that has a foundation and something that is real. Oh yes, people may not be able to explain it. But oh my, what a wonder it is when the Lord Jesus comes into our life and we can say, like Philip said to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Oh, praise the Lord. And he's more than the son of Joseph. We know that Joseph was just, you know, the individual that took care of him in the natural sense while he was a youngster. But praise the Lord, oh, he was truly the Son of God. And oh, praise the Lord, and what a wonder it is when we know the joyful sound of salvation. And we know the one that came to this earth who declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, praise the Lord. We have so much hope. And what a joy it is to realize Jesus is the Christ. He is the one to whom all hearts yearn. He fills that vacuum in the heart. Oh, yes, that need that we have for something greater than ourselves, a power greater than ourselves. And praise the Lord, oh, our God fulfills that need. He puts his Spirit in that spot. He comes to us so that, oh, yes, we can know him. And, yes, we can be filled with the greatest gift of all, the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh, the Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell in our very beings. Praise the Lord. He doesn't leave us comfortless, but he comes to us to abide with us forever. Oh, praise the Lord, the Spirit of the living God. If you've not yet received Jesus Christ into your heart, I beseech you to let him in. Oh, yes, he stands at the door and he knocks. And he's waiting, oh yes, that you would acknowledge him and that you would receive him. Oh, that you would let him enter, that you would repent. And oh yes, give your life over to the living God. Praise the Lord. Oh, God is so good. And oh yes, not only that, but oh yes, he goes on to fulfill that emptiness in our life. Oh, yes, to give us a joy that we could not describe, a peace that passes all understanding, and a hope that is beyond this world, something greater than ourselves, something to live for, something to die for. Praise the Lord. And we know that because he lives, we're going to live also in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a wonder it is. Can you say tonight, we have found him. I have found him. Oh, yes, he wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to be King of kings and Lord of lords in your life. Oh, I pray and beseech thee that thou would give your life to the living God and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, soon coming King. Oh, praise the Lord, the one that we serve, the one that we worship. Praise the Lord, the one that we obey, the one that we live for. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. the one that fills us with his wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for the hope that is within us. Oh, God, we thank you that we can say that we have found you, Lord. And, oh, God, we know there's none other to fill that void in one's life, all that empty spot. Lord, I pray that you would work. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you would pour out of your Spirit. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that the gospel would be perceived and believed. Oh, God, and carried out. Oh, Lord, and help us all. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. Work in our hearts, oh, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord, oh, God, that your presence would be perceived and felt. Oh, Lord, even this very night, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have found him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Messiah, the Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. We're going to open our chorus books in closing and turn to number 66 and sing Jesus, I'll Never Forget. Number 66. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. And Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Have a wonderful night. Be safe. God bless.